Allah, one of the few anointed godly men.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority.
Close from His throne.
Close from His throne.
Why? Why would you care so much for us? We have to ask ourselves, were we that good?
No.
No. Quite the other. You see no other way.
Who are we?
And you will be mindful of us. What do you see? That's worth looking our way. We are free in ways that we never should be. So we release from the depths of the shame. Like into straining from the
thank you.
look at this world, we wonder who is reigning. We see that the prince of power in the air seems to be winning. But he knows he's lost. Amen. He's trying to do whatever he can to distract us, to kill us, to destroy us, to have our hearts and mind focus on other things. So we got to realize there's nothing good in us. He is the only one that is good. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You are good. You are good. There's nothing good in me. You are love. You are love. On display for all to see. You are light. You are light. When the darkness closes in. You are hope. You are hope. You have covered all my sins. You are peace. You are peace. When my fear is crippling. You are true. You are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, even death has lost its sting. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, nothing compares. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world. Desire this morning.
a time to think about that. As we look to the new year, what is going to be our focus?
My soul, I live.
the church of Philadelphia. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church of Philadelphia full of love, brotherly love. And Jesus commended that church and said, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. You have little strength. You have not denied my name or my word. Lord, we want to be a church that realizes our limitations. We don't have much strength, but you are our strength. You are our shield. You are our mighty fortress. And Father, as we depend upon your strength, we want to see the door that you opened up individually as individual person, but also as a body. Lord, you planted us here in Bradenton. What is it that you have us to do? What is your desire for this fellowship, this coming year, but also personally? Is there things we need to lay down? Surrender it all. So as we come to your word this morning, Father, speak through your servant that we would go from here changed, less of flesh and more of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I got it up and running. I don't know if I could retire from it.
It'd be Jude.
I was looking at that. I'm not sure what that was.
Thanks.
All this technology, man. Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, we're going to start off with something since we have the kids all here and there's a lot to do. For those of you who don't know, we've been doing through December, we do a little missions outreach. And so what we're doing is we are doing two things. We're sending out Bibles to folks that are desperately needing them in underground churches in North Korea and in China. And so what we're doing, if you guys see these stars on the tree right here, each one of those stars indicates a Bible that's been given from this church in Jesus' name to someone in the underground church. And so each week we add the stars on there. And so we're doing that again this week. So kids, if you could come in and hang up the stars. And there's actually, are you ready for this? Elijah, you might have to get out of the way or put some up there because you're tall. Just this week, there's going to be 97 more stars added. We'll also have action packs too. They're little bags like this. If you like one of these, they're $7. And they look like this.
There's one filled under the tree.
Thank you. Thank you, Nate. They look like this, and basically you can stuff. Thank you, Vanna.
There
you go. Excellent. Thank you, Vanna. You can put in clothes, you can put in toys, they'll add a Bible in there too. It's $7. We've got a bunch of these. If you would like to take one home with you, we've got a bunch. Just come see me after church. You fill them up, we'll mail them out. They're called, they'll go to the Syrian refugees over there and who have nothing. And so if you want to do that, please let me know. Or if you'd like to write a check, you can put it in the little agape box, the tithe box in the back. That's what it looks like full. Yep. And they're $5 each for the Bibles and $7 for the action pack. It all goes over there.
Or,
if you'd like to buy an action pack pre-filled from Voice of the Martyrs, they fill it for you and distribute it, then that's $30. You can write a check. Just remember to put in the memo section action packs for Syria or Bibles for North Korea and China in the memo so we make sure that all that money goes overseas and goes to help folks who are in need. Okay? Thank you, guys. Thank you, brother. That is an amazing amount of stars, you guys. Seriously.
Beautiful.
We had somebody stay at the church. We needed a place to stay, so we told them about that. And one of the little kids was like, oh, we see our stars on that Christmas tree. What a great opportunity. The mom said, well, that's Bibles that are going out. The Word of God going out in Jesus' name. That is amazing. Thank you guys for being such a generous little church. What a blessing. And you know what? You can be assured God's Word won't return void. So each one of those that's going out, God's going to impact the heart and the life. And I think that's awesome. Oh, thank you. All right, give me a second while I switch mics.
I'll get your laptop back up.
Awesome.
Yeah. And your presenter over there.
One more.
I think I got the right one. He said you. You can say he said you, right?
Yes.
All right. So next week is our last week before we send out these Bibles. So there's literally now hundreds going out from this little church, and action packs as well. So if you'd like to donate, we don't make anything off it. It's all going overseas. And so please, in Jesus' name, if you would like to donate, again, there's a little, we don't take up an offering or tithe here. There's a little bird box back there. I know it's kind of silly, but God provides for the birds of the air, right? We're not going to coerce you for money. We're not going to cajole you for money. If you want to give, you give in Jesus' name. It goes there. We're happy to receive it. Okay? All right. Well, there's a couple things we want to mention to you if you're at all interested. We got Bible studies that are coming up, and so we just want to make sure we mention them so that you can kind of prepare the time, prepare your hearts. Okay, so we're doing a 4, maybe 5-week study on Share Jesus Without Fear. Okay? It's $15 for the workbook. If you can't afford it, it's free in Jesus' name. Okay? It's going to be Thursdays here at Home Fellowship Church. We're not sure if it's going to be 6:30 to 8:30. We'll have to ask the folks who want to go, or 6 to 8. And it's going to be starting January 7th. Somebody asked me that last week. Hey, when's it starting? And it's basically on how to share your faith in a way that's respectful, but in a way that no one can argue with. And so it's amazing. I would literally beg. If you want to see me beg, I'll get on my knees. I'm not proud. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm begging you. If you're a Christian here, I would ask that you come out in Jesus' name. It'd be a great time.
Question.
Yes, answer.
Is this a class that children can come to if they want to share their faith?
That's a great question. This is also, we're going to open it for the teens. And so if you're a teen here, I know we're missing like a lot of, I don't know where a lot of our people are today, but
sleeping.
That's nice. But we're opening it up to the teens. And so listen, if you're an adult, or if you're teens, or if you're dad, son, whatever, mother, daughter, we want you to come out. We just want you to learn how to share your faith. And it uses the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And so we want to invite you to come out for that. Also, we have a youth camping trip that's leaving Saturday morning, January 23rd, and returning sometime January 24th in the afternoon. At the Rye Preserve. Do you want to say anything about that or wait till next week in January?
I'll fill in more later, but okay. Just a little tidbit.
Okay.
It's just for the, we say teens, youth group.
Yeah.
But I mean,
12. Well, yeah,
yeah. 12 is fine. Up to the teens. We'll have another one for the younger kids probably on property here at another time. But we are looking for anybody that wants to just kind of donate for the weekend. Any of you have any extra tents or sleeping bags? Borrow tents or sleeping bags. So that's what we're trying to gather up now for the kids and those who don't. So.
If they have any questions, they can see you.
Yeah, call me.
Awesome. Okay. Also, the Barnabas Prison Ministry, if you guys had any cards, just a reminder. And, of course, I sent out the text yesterday, and I remember this morning I forgot those cards. But if you have any old cards, used cards, they'll recycle them. Or if you have any extra Christmas cards, bring them in. We're going to send them all to the prisoners who just would love these cards to be able to send something out. Just remembering those in prison.
Can we still bring them next week? Yes.
Still bring them next week, yes. So somebody remind me to remind me. Also, they have, the sermons are now online at homefellowshipchurch.com. Somebody just did that. Thank you so much, guys. Praise the Lord for that. Also here, prayer meetings, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, the first Monday of each month, chronic support group. If you're suffering with chronic pain or chronic illnesses, there's a chronic support group. We've got a little brochure there. We'd love to just to pray with you and to encourage you. It's at Carrie's house, 7 p.m. on Mondays. If you're at all interested, we'll give you more information or you can talk to Carrie directly. We've got Bible studies, men's and women's, on Tuesdays. Now, here's the thing. Oh, there's not even here. Oh, Carl's not here. Okay.
Gary's not here.
This is the fifth Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is like the one time there is no men's or women's Bible study. Is that right? Right.
Yes.
Okay, well, you'll just have to wait for me to talk about
this. I can answer for the men, but not for the women.
All right, there you go. All right, so we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about the women's Bible study in James next week. No youth group this week, is that correct? Because of, okay, all right.
What?
All right, I know, sorry. Then Matthew County Youth for Christ, we'll talk about that next week, too. And anything? No. Okay, there's nothing. Okay, basically, there's nothing this week. This
no, there
is
something.
Shit, relax.
There's something.
Can. Oh, wait, Rebecca. Yes. Go ahead. Are you going to say it?
Yeah, but I want a mic. Can I have it?
Oh, sure.
No, you better get up. I will stand and have a mic. How about that?
Wow. You talk about boldness. All right,
good. And still in.
Check.
Whoa.
How about this? Any of you who have been to my house in the last 3 years have probably seen the pool that's out of the ground. It's very bad.
Yes.
And it's dangerous.
Yes.
And little kids could go under there and never be found again.
Yep.
So, Adam, you're talking about because you've seen it. All right. Yep. So we are going to be starting to handle this starting this weekend. So it's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, forever. Anyway, we're demolishing it, basically. So the whole pool has to come out. All the concrete around it.
Holy
yes. Cow. Big job. The fence has to come down that side so we can get things in and out. And we're going to have a dumpster for everything to go in, like out front. And we're going to have some kind of machinery that we can load it with concrete to carry it for us. So we're not done. The only thing is, manpower is going to be the most important. And if we can do this ourselves, I say ourselves like you guys are part of it, but
yeah.
If my family can do this ourselves, we can save like $7,000 to $10,000 on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just getting it out of there.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm not rolling gold, and I don't want any more debt than I have to have. So we just want to take care of it. My house has been like that for 3.5 years. It's really pitiful. So we just want to take care of this. So anyway, no guilt. I know it's like a holiday weekend, and you guys are like, oh, we're going to be relaxing and having fun. Well, we're going to be having fun, not relaxing. But you're welcome to join us. No guilt. Please do not come up and try to help and feel guilty, because honestly, God can work through who's willing, and I don't want anybody there who doesn't want to be there. If you have children or a spouse that can't work and they want to come along, you can hang out in the house. There's going to be games and movies and food. Actually, there'll be food for everybody. We're providing food and drinks for everyone who comes.
Be.
For real. Good food, like pizza.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's I'm a shipping hammer, so I'm bringing my shipping.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad you're coming, at least. I know you like to destroy stuff. So, yes, if you like to destroy stuff, this could be fun, right? New Year, break apart stuff that's crappy in your life. Yeah, it's a spiritual metaphor. And, you know, start the new year better.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys want to join us, it's going to be, hold on a second. We're going to start New Year's Day. We're not going to start New Year's Eve because that's just wrong.
Yeah.
So, we're going to start New Year's Day at 8 a.m., and we'll probably be going until we all pass out. So, anybody wants to come, you can come for half an hour, you can come stay all day, whatever you want, it's totally cool. And even the kids, if their parents feel like they're safe enough, they're welcome to come demolish things. It's great.
Yeah.
Outside the house, not inside the house. Let's not demolish that stuff, actually. Okay, question?
No,
so it's off. Okay.
Are you taking down the cage?
Cage is coming down right now. Natalie Ramsey, aren't here today to pull down the cage.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're not going to try to publish that. Okay, that's it. If anybody doesn't have my address or anything, I'm sure we're going to send out a text at some point with address, phone number, and you can call me for any questions.
Yeah, we'll try to remind you.
Yes, that's what somebody remind me.
Okay, so the most important thing is do not come if it's a guilt thing. If it's like, oh gosh, you know, Rebecca never asked for anything. I want to go help her, but I don't want to. Don't come. I know you love me. I don't need it. Just come if you'd like to destroy things.
So basically what you're saying is, okay, don't come, and if you're feeling guilty, is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. Stay shut up, but that's probably bad to me.
I think it's awesome. That's great.
There you go.
Okay, and something else, too. We're going to do this, but we're not going to, just because we're missing so many people today. I want you just to prepare your hearts for next week. We're going to take a little bit of time. As we're ending this year, we wanted to do two things. We wanted to put out a little questionnaire from you guys. We want you to take it home. We'll give it to you next Sunday. For those of you guys who have made this your home church, just there's going to be the questionnaire is going to have, hey, what are the things that you feel like we're doing right as a church that's been encouraging, that's been a blessing, that's been a help to you? You know, what are the things that you think we as a church should be doing, things that need to be changed, things like that. And so we want you to take that questionnaire home. It's going to be anonymous. We just want you to pray about it, really think about it. This isn't a chance to, you know, unleash, you know, but it's a chance to just pray and ask, hey, what are some, if we're a body, what are we supposed to be doing together? You know, what direction does God, you feel like God, you want us to go in? And so we're going to hand that out. Also, we want to take a little bit of time next week, and just, and you can reflect on it. I want you just to think about this past year, and maybe if there's a certain scripture that the Lord has put in your heart, something that he's taught you from his word, or by experience, there's something that he's put in your heart. There's something that he has taught you by his Holy Spirit that's valuable to share with other people. Right? Teaching isn't just one person. The Holy Spirit teaches each one of us if we'll allow him to do that. Right? And God has taught you things this past year. Some in a nice, happy way, or some in a hard way. And then there's Justine. Yeah! Okay, come on in, Justine. Okay, so we just want to encourage you, think about it, and we're going to share some of that next week, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right, let's, all right, we already went through that. Okay, we are in the book of Jude, my friends. So if you could open your Bibles to the book of Jude, Joe and Hezekiah, can you grab a couple of those Bibles? If you need one, raise your hand, we'll get one to you.
No.
Book of Jude is right by Revelation. Not Revelations. You are wrong. All right, Book of Jude. Move some of your. Alright, I'm going to get out there myself too. Okay, while I'm opening my Bible and getting my stuff ready, you guys tell me. We went through it last week. Okay. Everybody open to Hey Jude?
Chapter 1. Are you going to sing it?
I am not going to sing it again. That would be a negatory. But Jude, the book of Jude is all about contending for the faith, right? That's the main. Oh, I shouldn't even say that. Okay, you tell me. This should be a no-brainer, but. Okay, I'll just ask you who wrote the book of Jude? You guys are amazing.
The half-brother of James.
That's what my next question, smarty party. Yes. Actually, no, that's wrong. He's the full brother of James.
Full brother James, half-brother Jesus.
Half-brother of Jesus.
I got ahead of
you. Okay, now, okay. When was it written? Anybody know?
Huh?
65 AD. That's correct. Yep, about 65, 67 AD. Yep. All right, now I probably already blew it, but what's the main verse in the book of Jude, the main, if there's a main theme verse, I'll give you a hint. Verse 3. That's exactly right. Okay, now if we read the book of Jude, it's only got basically 25 verses in this massive book, 613 words, but it's packed full of stuff, man. We got through like, what, 2 verses last week? The first 1 to 3 verses are written about the friends of the Lord, is what it's written about. And it gives instructions to them. It talks about them. It encourages them. The next verses, verses 4 to 19, are written about the enemies of the Lord. Those who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. How to identify them, how to spot them, what they're like, what their end is going to be. But most of the book is about that. And then the last few verses, verses 20 to 25, is about the victory in the Lord. That we have as believers victory. And so, we went through the first 2 verses. Would somebody mind reading 2 verses for me? Maddie Banda, you mind?
Sure.
Thanks. Verses 1 and 2. Of course, I'll stop you at Banda points, whatever.
Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James.
Okay, wait, I'm going to stop you already. Okay, since you read, now it's going to ask you. Okay, so what does it mean? He's identifying himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you? Like when he's saying, he could say, hey, I'm the half-brother of the J-man. What does it mean that he's saying, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ? What do you think that says? Seth?
He's here to serve.
He's here to serve. Good. What else in the show? Yes, Nate.
He's accepted Christ's deity.
That's right. What else does it show?
He's under the lordship.
Absolutely good. What else? He surrendered his life. Yeah. You know what? He's a servant. Like, the word again is doulos. Okay, somebody's telling me I spent too much time recapping, but that word, he's right. But that word is doulos again. It's a slave. Listen, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve something. You're going to serve someone. You're going to serve the dollar. You're going to serve your husband. You're going to serve your wife. You're going to serve your kids. You're going to serve the job. You're going to serve drugs. Listen, or you are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There's only one master, you know, and he's a good master. He's a loving master. You know, money makes an excellent servant, but it's a cruel master. It will crush your heart. Drugs, cruel master. That's all in the enemy's camp, man. So a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Good. Continue, Madavanna.
To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy.
Wait. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, right there, guys. We talked about it last week, but just because I want us to remind us as we get into some of this stuff where he starts talking about these false teachers, man, it can be discouraging. He's going to say what the end is going to be for them. There's a heaven and a hell, and they are not going to the one up above. They're going to the one down below. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he's reminding those who are servants, who have chosen to bend the knee, like Tamlin said, to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, not just fire insurance. They're saying, you're Lord, I want to follow you. He says, you're called. That's so cool. Because not many of us were much when we were called by God, right? Now, what about Adam? You're not the president of anything. What? You're what?
You're less than much.
Yeah, that's right. See, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I mean, if you're here and you're a billionaire, you are super welcome. No, you're just as welcome as anybody else. But not most of us are just regular, ordinary, average folk, right? But God said, you know what? I want you. I see you. I love you. And I want you to be with me. I've called you, Justine. I have called you personally, is what he's saying. All we need to do is what?
Listen.
We need to listen and we need to pick up the phone. Right? How many of us, maybe God's calling you here today, right? Maybe God is calling you right now. Are you, in your life, are you taking, and are you, you know when people call, I'm sure you never do this, but you know how there's sometimes, when you get a call, and you're just like, oh, I just don't want to talk right now. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of go forward, you know, voicemail. I would never think of doing it. But there are times when you just forward that. If God is calling you, could it be that maybe you're doing that to him? I just don't want to talk to you right now, God. You know, I'm too busy for you. God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to share something with you. He wants to draw you near. He wants to encourage your heart. Maybe he wants to correct you. Whatever. Think about that. And we're forwarding him on to voicemail. We're saying, no, I don't have time for you. Some of us, guys, are, what's that, call blocking? You mentioned that? Right? Mm-hmm. Block number. We're doing that to God. It's like we're like little kids. Remember, like, la, 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 can't hear you, God, la, 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 la. Because we want to do our own thing. God is calling you. That's an amazing thing. Not only are you called Christian, but you're loved. Listen, some of you are unlovable. I have to look at you and you at that way. It just happened to be who I looked at, okay? But yet God says, man, you're beautiful. Bald and beautiful.
Amen.
He says, I see you and I love you. Romans 5:8 again. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. 1 John 3:1 says, behold the love the Father has poured out on you, that you should be called children of God. And then lastly, it says that you're kept. Man, listen. It says that no one will be able to snatch you out of your Father's hands. Nobody. And I love that. All right, I'm sorry. So we're still in verse 1, right? Okay, sorry, continue. Verse 2.
All right. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
That's right. Or some of your translations say be multiplied. And I love that because God's mercy is amazing. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him. He wants us to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. We went through this. I'm not even going to go into that. The peace from God. There we go. I'm going to go through this. All right, I'm going to wait. I'm going to do this one first. Okay. Now, my friends, we're in verse 3 and 4. So can someone read that? Josh, since you're right next to the lovely and talented man of heaven, would you please read verses 3 and 4?
Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign and Lord.
Okay. The first thing that he says there, and it's such a cool thing, you know, is he calls us in verse 3, look at that, dear friends. Can you feel the love that's going out? That word is agapetos, from the word agape, which is just like this, I don't even know, how would you describe agape love? Unconditional is probably, yes, the best word. What is it? Unearned, unconditional. He's saying, some of your translations might say beloved or dearly beloved. You know, he's saying, man, I love you guys. You know, and he's calling us friends. Like, I see this as the Lord's love letter to me. This is Jude writing by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he's also writing to me. He's saying, dear friends, how do you know? So let me ask you a question. How do you know that you're a friend of God? I mean, is it, if you listen to most people, today, most churches, we're all friends of God, right? I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Who cares how I live? I am a friend of God. He calls me. So are we all friends of God? Is that just, you're saying no?
Not everyone.
I thought everybody was a friend. How do you know if we're a friend of God? Guys, it's nothing against that song. I like the song. Don't get me wrong. But, how do we know?
Well, you can't really call yourself a friend of somebody if you don't have a personal relationship with them.
Oh, I see.
Unless you're a Facebook friend.
Unless you're a Facebook friend.
Jesus doesn't have Facebook.
Jesus, yeah, I don't think he has a Facebook page. But that is true, though, right? You have to know somebody, right? So you really want to call somebody a friend. What about scripturally? Is God? Yeah, go ahead.
I know it says it in the Old Testament because when that song came out, I didn't believe it. I was like, what? I honestly can't believe it, but I couldn't believe that that was really true. When I were a friend of God, I think of myself more like a servant, not that equal, whatever. So I looked it up, but I can't remember where, but it's in Isaiah or something like that.
Well, let me give you two verses because I want everybody to know this. And I want everybody to understand. First, Jesus loves everybody. He died for the world, right?
Yes.
He loves you. There's no question. You have to choose whether you're going to be his friend or not. You know what I'm saying? Because if you choose to reject him, that's fine. He'll reject you. Choose to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Listen, I want you to read two things, okay? I want somebody who, maybe we'll just all go there together. Everybody, let's go to John chapter 15, 14. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 14. All right, can we turn there, please? How do we know that we're friends with Jesus? And he does call us friends. So how do we know? Mary, you already there?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, you're good. All right, John 15, 14. What does it say?
Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
You're my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. Some of your translations, if you obey. Jesus says, if you have my commands and obey them, he is the one who loved me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. But if you love Jesus, then you're going to want to obey him. You're going to want to know what he has to say, right? If you don't care about him, you're not going to bother. Listen, and this is important. Go to James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. It's kind of right by Jude, a little to the left, a few pages. Jude chapter 4, verse 4.
You mean James?
I'm sorry. James chapter 4, verse 4. What does that say, Jason?
You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Anyone who chooses... What does that mean? Read it again. What does that mean? Tell me what...
That's
James chapter 4, verse 4.
You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
What does that mean? What do you think that means? What is that saying to you, Jason, when you read that?
It's saying he gives us a choice.
That's right. So we choose. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the universe, he made us, he lets us choose. You can choose the world, or you can choose him.
It goes back to you can't serve two masters. You serve one, you hate the other one.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but each one wants all of you. John 10, I think it's 10:10, there's a little plaque outside of our house when you come in. It says, now I'm trying to remember what it says. I look at it all the time. But it says, I think it says something to the effect of, and at least if you can help me, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you may have life and have it abundantly. One's got a good plan for your life. He's not trying to squash your pain. He's trying to save you from pain. Let me tell you, folks, you go down that road, that's a lot of pain. So he calls us friends, beloved. Says, although I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, man, I wanted to write to you, hey, we're saved. Man, you're following the Lord. This is so cool. Jesus is awesome. I want to talk to you about that. But he said, like, I felt compelled to, like I had to urge you to contend for the faith. Because folks are going to come in, false teachers, false doctrines. It's coming for you. The enemy's coming out for you. And so even though I wanted to write it, I felt like the Holy Spirit, he's like saying, the Holy Spirit was like compelling him, you're going to write about this instead. You're going to warn them. Even last week when I did a teaching on Jude, I didn't want to do a teaching on Jude, to be honest with you. I was even pleading with the Lord Saturday night, let me do Philemon, let me do a different book, Lord. I don't want to do Jude. But the Lord said, no, I want you to do this book. Well, I've learned, if you listen to the Lord, things go a lot better for me. And people were blessed. Only because of just being obedient. And sometimes the Lord, you're going to want to do something in your own mind, in your own strength, in your own way. You're going to want to go one direction. And the Lord's going to say, no, I want you to do this. No, but that doesn't make sense, Lord. I want you to do that. Do you remember in the book of Acts? Remember in the book of Acts when I believe it was Philip, went over to the Ethiopian eunuch? God just told him, I want you just to go down that road. Didn't give him all the information. Just step by step, go down by that road. Go over there. Stand by that chariot. What do I say? What do I do? Just do it. God will open up stuff as you obey him, step by step, as you listen to his voice, as you obey his commands. And God will do incredible things. Somebody said last week, that was like one of the best teachings in my... If that's not the best teaching, that was like the top five teachings I've ever heard in my 65 years of listening to sermons. And I thought two things. I thought, man, I was so humbled. I was like almost in tears. I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord, just for being obedient to you and doing Jude when I thought I'd be able to do this other one better. That's so cool. And then I thought, well, maybe he hasn't heard a lot of sermons. But regardless, I thought, man, that's just cool, just for being obedient to God. And then he says this. He says, I want you to contend for the faith. That word, contend, and I'll try to get it right in the Greek, is epa agabizomai. It's only used one time in the Bible. And it basically means that word contend in that one time, it means to fight to the finish. It means a continual fighting. It's where we get our word agonize from, agonizo in the Greek. It's where we get our word agonize from. So he's saying, I want you to contend for the faith. Now, maybe it's just me. When I think of contending for the faith, I think of contending.
Yeah.
Now, maybe nobody who's like Rocky, you know, young, my son's like, hey, what's Rocky? I don't know. So he watched it this last week. Let me see if I got another one. Okay, here we go. All right. There's one more. Oh, I must not have saved it. Doggone it. This is an old one. A computer crashed earlier this morning. So I think of two things. I think of Marlon Brando on the waterfront. You remember?
Yep.
Marlon Brando for the older folks. Yeah, I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. You know? And what he meant, thank you very much. But what he meant was, I could have been, you know, a champ. Could have been a contender. When I think of contending, I think of Rocky. You guys remember those movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes from nothing, right? This little Italian, I'm Italian too, this little Italian paisan, you know.
I'm a bum.
Hey, I'm a bum. He's a bum. He fights his way, right? He fights his way I don't want to spoil it for you, but eventually to beat Apollo Creed, okay?
Who's Uncle Sam.
yeah, dressed as Uncle Sam. But there's another, when I think of contending in the Rocky movies, I think of this guy. This is
Russian dude, yeah.
Yeah, the Russian dude. His name is Dolph Lundgren in real life. What's his name? Drago in the movie.
Ivan Drago.
And first what he does is he kills Apollo Creed in the ring. He is so strong, so awesome, beats down. But God is saying, I want you to contend for the faith. I want you to fight for the faith. And even in this, I remember him leaning down. Okay, there's a scene. Rocky's up there, you know. He leans down and he goes, looks down and he goes, I must break you. That's all he does. He goes, and he hits his hand. And for me, that's what the enemy says to you. You see, the enemy can no longer have your soul if you're saved. So what he wants to do is discourage you, depress you, make you feel like you're so beat down, you're so beat up that you can't get up, you can't go forward, you can't press on, you can't fight anymore. That's what he wants you to do. This guy, Dolph Lundgren, is a moose. I mean, if you were to see this guy, he's got, I don't know if you can see it in this, you probably can't, he's got twice the reach of Rocky. In real life, this is a little fun fact for you. You may or may not want to know, but I'll tell you anyway. In real life, Sly Stallone wanted he wanted the movie to be real, okay? So he asked Dolph Lundgren, as they were boxing, you know, in some of the scenes, he said, I want you to hit me a couple times. I want you to try to hit me as hard as you can. You know, now, Sly Stallone's, you know, he's pretty built, like myself. He's why is that so funny? Why is that so rude? Anyway.
Don't take your shirt off.
It's resting muscle, Mark. It's resting. Anyway, the point of this is that when Drago hit him, he hit him three times, okay, in the chest, right? He hit him. So, I mean, he was trying to block, you know. He hit him three times, just full force. It hit him so hard that it actually jarred his whole bones to his heart, hit the rib cage, and started to expand. They had to bay flight him to the ICU. He spent days and days in intensive care because he couldn't breathe, started swelling. He was cutting off the oxygen and blood flow. And when I think of the enemy, that's exactly what I think he's saying to you and what he says to me. He just looks down and he says, I must break you. And he looks big, right? He looks strong. He's powerful. But let's be honest, right? But we have somebody that's bigger in us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
But see, you have to believe that promise. You know what I'm saying? Because a part of you wants to believe the lie the enemy is telling you. You're worthless. Lie, you got nothing. Lie, you have no strength left. Lie, you have no power. Lie, you're ineffective. Lie, you're one of the loser ones. Lie. But that's what he wants to do. He's trying to break you. I just want to get you out of the ring. I just don't want you to fight anymore. See, I want you so cut up. I want you so beat up that you just won't go back and fight anymore. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep you out of the ring. But Judah's saying, I want you to contend, to fight to the last breath. That's what it's saying in Greek. Agonizo, agonize. Fight. I see a lot of that imagery in the Bible, you guys. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, you just become a Christian, and then everything is great, and we're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and we just have that is not the Christian faith. That is like Disneyland faith. Listen, I haven't even read the scripture verse. That's embarrassing. Anyway, but this is an Acts. It says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict. This is Paul saying this. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside, with fear on the inside. See, I like this. I mean, you know, I didn't even think of Rocky. You know, Rocky was like, looking at this guy like, whoa. Even when they were going to start the fight, he's like looking up at him like this, like, uh-oh. But of course, you guys know what happened in the end. But anyway, it says, but God, who encouraged those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. So God wants to encourage you. But there's going to be fights, there's going to be conflicts, and it's not going to end until you are taken home. And the more you're fighting, right, the more you're starting to do something for the Lord, let me tell you something, the more fierce the enemy's going to want to put you down. Yeah, Anthony. Now, for you guys who don't know, you can talk, you can ask questions. We're open. It's like a home. That's why,
Talking about fighting and quoting Rocky movies and stuff. But remember that movie, Apollo Creed's manager didn't want Apollo fighting him the second time because he said that he'd never seen a man get beat down as bad as Rocky's been beat down again and keep coming.
Yeah.
That's kind of about what we need to be doing. I mean, the enemy's going to beat us down and beat us down, but we didn't stop. He kept coming forward. He kept pursuing.
Yes. Yes. That's right. You know, there's, when I think of also battles and struggles, it's like that Greek word agonizo is like, it's talking about fighting. It's talking about, in those days, it would be like a wrestling match, right? Like, turn real quickly to Ephesians 6 with me real quick. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Talks a lot about struggling and battling. Okay? Just a second. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 6. And you guys might have heard this before, but that's okay. You can hear it again. It's a good reminder. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Mark, will you read that? So just start reading.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might.
Well, first off, what is that saying? It says, finally, I want you to be strong in the Lord. He's going to talk about the army. He's going to talk about struggling and battling. What does that verse say to you? Finally, be strong in the Lord and whose mighty power?
His. You know,
what does that say?
The first word says to be finally, which when it's all said and done, when it's all over, when everything else has been said, be strong in the Lord.
That's right.
And in the power of His might.
That's right.
Okay? And it's like in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There's rewards and there's consequences. Whose side do you want to be on?
That's right.
Be strong in the Lord. Know the power of His might.
That's right. Now, what does the next one, next verse say?
Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Now, you guys, that should tell you something right there. The devil is scheming against you. He's planning attack. Keep going.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Now, some of your Bibles say our struggle is not against flesh and blood, our battle. And basically what that means, that Greek word is called, is pale. And it's not like that struggle is not against flesh and blood, like you've got the kind of side army and you've got the enemy side army, they're fighting. It's a picture of a personal struggle, pale. It's a one-on-one wrestling match. It's not against flesh and blood. Your big thing isn't him or her, it's the enemy. You're fighting this, you're wrestling with. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities in heavenly places. It's a one-on-one struggle. And so we need to be in training. We need to be fighting. You know, the Bible talks a lot about training. And, you know, God's Word says, and I'm going to have to, because all my stuff was, I lost half of it when the computer crashed this morning, and now it's going off again. We're just going to continue anyway, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, right?
Amen.
First, I panicked, to be honest with you. When that computer crashed, I'm missing half of my slides. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. It was so good. I got some really cool... What's that? What's the trainer's name?
Mickey.
Okay, well, there's some great training slides. But the Lord, even just sitting here, the Lord's just bringing them back to mind. So we're going to see... Give me just a second. And I'm going to take a quick look. You know, I kind of picture myself, maybe I should picture it as kind of like Mickey. Come on, Rocky. Come on, Christian. You can do it to Ray. Come on, you know you can serve the Lord. You can do it with his power and his might. You didn't see the Rocky movies. It's kind of weird. But anyway, that's how he talks, this little guy.
Are you sure that wasn't Pirates of the Caribbean? Peter Pan.
That was it.
Peter Pan.
So a little, okay, well, anyway, it's close. I tell you, no respect. But you know, God's Word says in 1 Timothy, thank you, Lord, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, have nothing to do with godlessness or old wives' tales, but rather, listen, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come. Train yourself to be godly. Man, some of you are not only not in the ring, but you're not even training. Folks, I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying, listen, I ran that 5K run I shared with you last week. Again, they were picking up the cones behind me. That's embarrassing. And you know why? Because I didn't train for that run. If we're going to be in this fight, for you not to be in training, right? It would be foolish. If you were going to run a marathon, wouldn't it be wise for you to maybe jog a little bit in the mornings, get out there, get some cardiovascular? If you were going to be weightlifting, maybe you playing football, wouldn't it be good for you to go out and practice some plays, right? Maybe read the playbook, right?
Stretch.
Right? Stretch a little bit. So, guys, when I think of Rocky training, right, what did he do? You guys remember?
Drank eggs.
Ran up the steps, that's right. Drank the eggs. Yeah, that's a nasty. But one of the things, what do you do? That's right. The classic scene, right? He goes in this meat locker, right? He's a poor guy. He goes in, and he's just like punching at him. He's just, I'm going to go in the meat locker, and I'm going to take it all I can. That's what he does, you know, the Italian. So I'm going to... And I think about that. When I think about that, I think about the Word of God. Don't you? You know, I think about the meat of the Word. Some of you are still drinking the milk. You're not even into the meat. You've got Bible study after Bible study. This year, we just finished a parenting course, 18 weeks. You could have gone to it. Marriage course. It was a great time. Each one of those are amazing. And you can't make everything, so don't be guilty. But you know what? You've got men's Bible studies every other week. You've got women's Bible studies every other week. You've got events. There's always some study. God is wanting to train you up, but when you get out of the couch and when you get into the Bible study, well, I just don't like those people. That it was too long for me. Well, I'm just so comfortable here with the pillow. I'm just so comfy, cozy at home.
That's
listen, you're in training. Fight. Wouldn't it be foolish? Imagine Rocky if he got in the ring and just didn't train at all. He would have got the snot beaten out of him. Okay. Amen? Right?
Even though he did train, he got the snot beaten.
But he ended up winning.
But he ended up winning.
All right. Don't ruin it for my kids.
And
yes?
There's a commercial that they came out with, and I don't remember what it's for, but the father was trying to impress his kids. Thank you, Lord. Actually, that's a perfect illustration. The Lord's bringing something to mind. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 13.
11 to 14.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Are you there?
Yeah.
The Lord was just bringing that to mind. Thank you, Lord. He's so faithful. Even without my cool slides, but it was a really neat-looking slide. Should have hit that. Anyway, go ahead. What does it say? It
says, we have much to say about this.
If you're talking about warning those who are falling away. Okay? Go ahead.
But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
What is that saying to you? First off, it's saying, quit on the milk. You need more meat. You need more input. Well, I don't like being around people. Well, too bad. You're in training a little bit. Go! Well, you don't understand. I've been hurt, you know, in other training sessions, in other fights. I do understand. Believe me, I got the scars to prove it. You get up anyway. I couldn't do what I do on Sunday. I'm too beat down. But yet, by the power of Christ, and me just saying, I'm going to just be obedient to your word, Lord. I hear your calling. I'm just going to do it anyway. And God overflows somehow, and somehow He teaches, and somehow He encourages, and somehow He inspires because of the Holy Spirit. And it says, by constant use, have trained themselves. We need to be obeying the Word of God, right? Get it in, obeying it. Don't tell me all the reasons you can't. Tell me why you can. And quit making excuses. This is one I've heard many years. I hate this one. If you've done it, I'm not attacking you in any way. I really forget, so don't think of, like sometimes for youth group, what they'll do is we'll be going through the book of John. And a lot of times, my son, my daughter really likes youth group, so I'm going to punish them by not allowing them to come to youth group because they're acting up. I would recommend you not do that. Maybe punish them in a different way. Take his TV time away. This is a time where they're getting the Word of God. Well, I don't want to come to the men's Bible study, unless my daughter comes or unless my son comes, I'm not going to go. Well, are you going to spend that 2-3 hours? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you going to spend those 2 hours then investing in your son, investing in your daughter? No, probably not going to do that. Well, why not just go, get it, and then give it back to him? The enemy will do anything to keep you out of training. Well, Nate, I won't use you because I know you love to go to the men's. Whatever reason you have for not coming to a Bible study, 9 out of 10 times, it's an excuse. You know what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. I mean, some of it's real, right? Okay, I've been hurt. I am tired. I don't like this person. They bug me. Pastor Darren talks too long. Whatever the case may be, go anyway. It's the folks who continue it by constant use, training themselves, have become strong, mature, and godly.
Darren?
Yes?
You know, what I've noticed is when the enemy really wants to keep me away from something, and I decide to go anyway, that's when the best blessings and the most blessings occur.
Absolutely. Honestly, you commit. I'm just, for the fun of it, I want to say, if this is not your home church, we're so glad you're here. Wherever your home church is, go back and do that there. But if this is your home church, just give a year. I want you to just entrench yourself for a year in training. Get up. I want you to go to these Bible studies. I want you to go to them. I want you to get as much in as you possibly can.
I want you to become strong, skilled. I want you to know how to fight. I want you to understand where your power comes from. You know, this one. It's hard to see. You hit that light for a second, Hezekiah, would you? Thanks. It says, basically there's a question. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that fades away. But we do it for an eternal prize, don't we?
Yeah.
We have that calling. So Paul says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow box. I'm not just punching the air. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. That takes time. That takes effort. Here's what everybody wants in their Christian life. I want you just to feed me. I just want to stay here. Right? And honestly, if I'm honest, I do too. But that's not how it works.
Really?
It's not. It says otherwise, yes. That's 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. And we talked about this already. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That takes some work. And do you need the training? Let's be honest. If you don't think you do, you're deceiving yourselves. Because there's always, the enemy's always right there. It says, have nothing to do, we just read that. Train yourself to be godly. I know this is a lot of scriptures, but this is all about contending for the faith. Oh, I haven't even got out of the third verse. Holy shit. But God wants you to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. If you've called upon the name of the Lord, if you're saved, get in the ring! Quit making excuses! Fight! And you know what? You'll find out when you get in the ring, that encourages someone else. When you commit, when you are fighting the good fight of faith, when you're pressing on for the Lord, that inspires somebody else. When I see my 8-year-old son, my 13-year-old son, 14-year-old son outrun me in half the time, not to show me up, but he did, and then my 12-year-old son and my 8-year-old son could have done the same thing, well, that kind of inspired me, kicked me in the pants a little bit. But it's that way in faith. You stepping up in his power, in his might, will call other people and bring them up. I want us to be, God is saying, I've called you to this salvation so that you'll be a fighter. And that you won't give up. That's what he's saying to you. And I'm not saying that you've given up or you're walking away from the faith. I'm not saying you're doing that. But could it be that you've gotten a little lazy? Could that be? Could it be that you've made so many excuses? Well, I'm just too beat up. I understand that. But could it be that maybe God is calling you to step up and is reminding you that you need to be a fighter? And you need to fight for what? It says for the faith. Not just to be contentious. Fight for the faith. How do we do that? How do we fight for the faith? What's our way, practical way, that we can fight for the faith? Tell me. Yes? That's good. Read God's word, put it into practice. Right? What else? How do we fight for the faith?
Spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel. Absolutely. How else? Yes?
Be quick to apologize and humble yourself.
Humble yourself, showing the character of Christ. That's right. Who does that these days? Nobody except a Christian. Good. What else? Yes, Christian.
A personal relationship.
Absolutely. Having that intimate, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't get that. They don't understand. Yes, how else?
Pray without ceasing.
Absolutely. Yes. To be in constant prayer for folks. You know who to pray for? Pray for me, I'll take it. Who else?
Someone over here said it. Praise the Lord. Just praise.
Even in your struggles when your car shreds on the interstate, praise God anyway.
That's right.
And I ended up having like the best Christmas and birthday I've ever had.
Wow.
Even though my car's sitting out front with, you know, a flat tire. It's like, oh well, isn't God great?
Groovy. That's awesome.
Talk and also ask God to search your heart and see if there's anything there that needs to be surrendered in you.
Absolutely. Get off the couch. Get off. Commit. Train.
Believe.
Believe.
Believe what the word says. Don't question
there we go.
I have fought the good fight, Paul says. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Wow. Okay, well, guys, I'm so sorry. Let me at least finish verse 3, okay? I know. I can't even believe we didn't. I'm really embarrassed.
No, you're not.
Tag out light speed, then you'll finish the book.
Here, hit the light again real quickly. Will you? Just really quickly. Just let me just finish this.
Just a continuation of life.
Yes, although, again, I urge you to contend for the faith, right? Once and for all, trust and trust it. Listen, there's no new gospel out there, right? You guys understand that, right? If somebody comes along and gives you a new gospel, Galatians says, let them be accursed. Mm-hmm. Right? They're an anathema. Don't accept it if it's Jesus plus something else. And it says it once and for all entrusted to the saints. That word entrusted is paradidomai in the Greek. It means delivered, handed over, some of your translations says, which is good. We redistributed, right? Everybody got one of those tracts when they came in here? Did everybody? Mm-hmm. You got a little piece of paper? If you didn't, some people are shaking their heads no. If you didn't, would you raise your hand? I just want to put it in your hand. Look at that. Oh, who are my people supposed to be handing out?
I didn't do it.
Thank you. Keep it out. Hand those out. Keep your hands up. I want you to just take it home and read it. Just think about it. They're two different ones. I pray you get just the right one in your hands. In Jesus' name. But once and for all. And it says entrusted to the saints.
Who are the saints?
That's a great question. Now, here's what the question was. Who are the saints?
Yeah.
Anybody who has been born again of God, for those who have bent the knee and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're what's called a saint. It's not the little person on your dashboard. You know?
Yeah.
It's not a statue. A saint is you and I if we've committed our life and heart to the Lord. That's what a saint is.
Yeah.
Good question. And what does that say to you when God says, once and for all, entrusted? Right?
Yeah.
It was done once, or it's done.
It's done, but what does entrusted mean? What does that signify? If I said, Amber Lee, I'm letting you babysit my kids, I'm entrusting them to you, what would that communicate? What?
Trust.
What?
Trust.
What?
Faith, trust.
We also see the preciousness of it.
Yeah.
I'm entrusting my children with you.
Something valuable.
Yes, God is saying, I'm entrusting this gospel with you. Pray up, fight up, pray up, share up, look up. Oh, I have this really great thing on cults. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we should do it here.
Anyway. And the rest of the story was
We'll share more next week, but I do want to share when you talk about, you know, it's once and for all entrusted to the saints. The next verse goes about denying Jesus Christ. Whatever cult, whatever they want to take you away from the Lord, they'll do four things. We'll talk about this in detail next week. They usually do four things. One is they add to Jesus Christ. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide is what they do. They add to Jesus Christ. Like you need him and something else. They subtract from who he is. They subtract from who Jesus is. Now, oh, he was just a man, or he was an archangel. Not that he was Emmanuel, God with us, coming down for our sins.
They multiply what you need to be saved, and they divide your loyalties. Maybe it's to a church, maybe it's to a denomination or non-denomination. We'll talk about that next week. God wants you to be a fighter. And let me tell you, I understand you're tired. I understand you're hurt. I understand you're injured. But I want you also to understand that, Miriam, just like you said, God, if you are a born-again Christian, you are a saint. You're either a saint or you ain't. And if you're a saint, then what God has said, no one's going to be able to snatch you from your Father's hand. That is kept in heaven for you. What you have to understand, which I don't even have, not on the slide again, but in the end, you'll see that Rocky movie when he's fighting Dolph, right? And at the very end of the movie, everybody thinks Dolph's going to just, and he's beating him, but he doesn't give up. And at the end of the movie, like the last round, Drago goes like, he's a machine. Can't stop him. I can't stop him. And you guys know the story at the end. Rocky comes back in that last round. You see him go, boom, boom, boom. And he goes down. That big mammoth goes down. And so is the enemy to your soul. He's already down. See, the fight is already won.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fighting for victory. You've already won if you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've already won. You just got to get in the ring and duke it out. If you rely on Him and His power, you already have the victory in Christ. The fight's fixed, so to speak. You're already the champ, and you're already the winner. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any comments or words before we close out in prayer today? Yes, sir.
Proverbs 24:16. For the just man falls seven times and rises up again.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good word.
Yeah, I think Rocky fell down quite a few times.
Rocky did fall down quite a few times. That's right. Contend for the faith. And maybe you will too. Righteous man falls down seven times. Seven times he gets back up again. Amen. Good. What else? Yes.
No. Rocky needed a trainer, Mickey. We need trainers.
Yes.
And in John 6:44-45, it tells us who our trainer is.
Go for it.
It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He is our trainer. He is our teacher. We can go to Him and ask Him to interpret His word for us, and He will teach us.
Yes. Seems like temptation. That was a great segue to the next little slide. I eyeball the little clicker sitting here. You see, I'm putting it down. Putting it down. Good work. Anybody else? Now listen, for some of us here, okay, Christmas has been a wonderful time. For some of us here, it's been a very difficult time. For some of us here, it seems like it was no time. You know what I mean? It seemed like it went by warp speed. I don't even remember what happened. And so, if that's you, like me, where everything happened a little too fast, you know, and I'm not saying... I'm just saying for me personally, in all the doings and all, I almost lost sight of what the most important thing is. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember who you're fighting for. Amen? And remember, most importantly, fight. Fight, agonizo, do not give up. You don't have the power, don't give me the excuses, but you can do it. You can choose to do it.
I feel like to do a closing song.
Then do it and close us out.
John?
We'll close out with this song. Would you close us out, Tom, in prayer too, if you might?
I just felt, Lord, I actually, for some reason, brought it. It's about overcoming.
By Jeremy Camp.
Yeah. spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, I pray, Lord, that it will rule and reign in our lives.
Yes.
That we will take your word. We have a testimony of Jesus' blood that was shed for all mankind. And Father, that we have not denied your name, even unto death. So Lord, as we go into this world, as we go, we have the authority Jesus gave us. And we can do even greater things because he spread out through the whole body of Christ. I pray that we will change this world. As we await your coming, that we will bear much fruit and bringing in that last harvest. As he swings that last Gentile save, Father, he will rush, enter in to the kingdom of God. Lord, may this Christmas season, this new year, bear much more fruit and the authority that has been given. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord, you guys. Have an awesome.
Oh, how many?